Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to a show called Compassion Dakini. Before we get started, please, if there is any guests out there who would like to be participating in the show, please call. The number is 347-637-3220. That's 347-637-3220. For today's guest, we have a special friend. Her name is Penny. She is a mother, a friend, and a spouse of the military armed force, and she also does homeschooling, and that is going to be our topic today. So Penny, can you say hello? Tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, I'm Penny. I have children ranging in ages from 16, I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old boys, and then a 5-year-old girl. We've been homeschooling on and off for about the last, I think it's been almost 6 years.
Okay, thank you. So, so before I get to the questions about homeschooling, let's take a couple minutes and let's listen to the mindfulness meditation. And because it's March, we're back on with music. Thank you, by the way, to Mr. Victor. So here we go.
Today's mindfulness meditation is brought to you by Dream Big. Next week, I will venture out on a trek of the biggest mountain in Africa called Kilimanjaro. In Swahili, Kilima means little mountain or hill. Njaro means white or snow cap. But for the local, it's known as a buffalo mountain that defeats the cougar. We all know it's the biggest mountain in the African continent. There are many more people who climb Kilimanjaro than Everest. The rate of incidents and accidents are much higher. Technically, the climb is not challenging, but due to the high elevation, low temperature, and the high winds, which makes it difficult and dangerous for those who are full of pride and overly confident. The great lessons from the previous adventure is to go slow, acclimatize the body, the brain, and the breath to the optimal altitude with the deepest respects of reverence for Mount Kilimanjaro. This is similar to the journey of life as we tackle on regal goals for our personal health and well-being. Like many great climbers, in order to achieve great happiness, first, she has to make a choice to embark on this defeat and not let the chances of others sway her in the winds of sadness. Then he must make a conscious change, which are needed when the terrains are rough and fierce, and not to make excuses to go back what used to be when it's easier and comfortable. So she must motivate from within and not be manipulated by fear or the force of doing things quickly without the respect for self, others, and for our environment. When climbing any mountain or attaining your personal best, remember to take these three S's. 1. Success is measured in how quickly you get up from your failure and the lessons you learn from your downfall. The taste of success is always sweeter and when there is hardship, challenges, and trial. So we must allow our body to acclimatize the different altitude of success before we eagerly speed up to the top when our mind is used to the high altitude and altitude. 2. Spirit of your true nature lies from within. There is only one you. No one can be you or better than you, so why not be you? If you are a size 8 in your hiking shoes, when you try to wear a 6, you end up with blisters and foot pain. In other words, if you decide to wear a size 10 and hiking up the hill, don't be surprised when you trip and fall. So enjoy the summit fully and be the real you. 3. Strength to listen to your inner voice for the highest good. Like Kilimanjaro, she only allows some people to come up to her summit of Ahuhu. It's called the Freedom Peak. When the climbers lead with the inner spirit and strength before sunrise, have faith in trekking across the rock slide in the dark before the mid-afternoon sun, and be in deep admiration in her beauty and grace as I will reach the glaciers safely before the unfrozen rock slides. Until our next journey, I wish all of us have plenty of peace in our hearts and laughter in our soul. Thank you.
You are part of me, as a white knight on your
team. Thank you so much, Victor, for putting that in. Okay, Penny, let's talk about homeschooling. So give us an idea, like, how did homeschool get started and how does it work?
We started homeschooling when we got orders to move and we were moving to an area where the school systems weren't great. My children had gone to Montessori schools for the first up to 5 or 6 years of their lives, up through, for the oldest, he finished 5th grade in a Montessori school, which is a wonderful, caring, nurturing environment. And we didn't want to put them into a traditional school setting for 1 year. And so some, we had good friends who homeschooled who suggested we give it a try. And you can also, it was a great way to be able to incorporate your faith into their everyday education as well. So that's where we got the start. And then it worked really well because depending on your children's abilities, some will need a more advanced, say, math class or math textbook, or other ones might need to run at a little bit of a slower pace so that they can understand the concepts that they find harder. And so it worked really well for us because then we could put everybody at the kind of the levels that they were and go from there. So that's kind of how we got started, was out of necessity, but it was very scary. Because you're taking on, you're taking over the education of your children, and you spend a lot of time worrying that you're going to miss something of importance or warp them.
So then, you are homeschooling the high schoolers, or what grades are you homeschooling your children right now?
So now we're doing, we have 2 in high school, and we do them. We have the option here to be able to, for them to take some of their math and science classes at the high school. And we have opted to do homeschooling part-time for them. And they do their history, literature, English, and let's see, theology. I think those are, they do those 4 at home. And in the past, we've done math and sciences as well at home. They present a little bit more of a challenge at the high school level because you want to, you have to get the lab stuff in, and it's a little bit more challenging. And then with the maths, with my husband deployed, he's the mathematician, and math questions come up. I'm like, I think I remember what that was.
So then, how do they participate? And your children are all great athletes. So how do sports and these social skills all intertwine when children are homeschooled? So they go to school part-time at the high school, right? And then they homeschool at night. So how do you incorporate the sports and activities together? Like, how would you know from day to day what they need to do or what time you have to show up at school? How does that work?
On the activity front, well, one of the things, because with a Montessori background and then going into homeschooling, we have a very untraditional education for the boys, and you'll always get comments from family and friends and well-wishers for the children. How are they going to socialize? How are they going to be able to fit into normal society? And you know, the easiest comment was always, well, when you were in school, how many times were you told to sit down, be quiet, and stop talking? It was one that made it. Somebody told me that. I'm like, oh, that's a good comeback. With all of the activities that are available, they get tons of social time and socialization. They swim, so they're able to get actually physical education credit as swimmers, and they do Boy Scouts, so they get a lot of excellent leadership opportunities within their Boy Scout troop, along with, you know, great life skills. So and as far as organizing it, it's a little bit of a challenge to make sure everyone is where they need to be, and keeping track of all of their homework that they have to do for me, and then also for the classes that they're taking at the high school.
Wow.
So
you must be a very busy lady.
Yeah, a little bit.
just a little bit, Penny.
just a little bit. But
so tell us about compassion, and what is your definition of compassion? And as a homeschool teacher, how do you incorporate compassion into the homeschool?
I think my definition of compassion is spreading the love, like passing it forward, loving and caring for others, and then trying to do something so that they then in turn pass it on. I was talking to one of the boys earlier before the show started, and he said, you know, his was the, you know, do a good deed and pass it on, was kind of his, the way he described, you know, what you do. If one of your siblings needs help with their work, they're ready to put theirs aside and help out. You know, some of them are stronger in math than others, and they're happy to stop what they're doing and help their siblings. And also, you know, it's interesting when you're homeschooling, all of your family dynamics are like under a magnifying glass. So, you know, relationship issues that might have been there before, oh boy, they come out. And you get to experience them full force with all the love that the teenage boys can dish out. But at the same time, I think that by the time that they spend together, I think they begin to understand how a relationship works, how a family works, and how, you know, if you're having a bad day and you're grumping it at your sibling, well, you know, you can't be surprised when they grump back at you. And the same with if they're being kind and doing a good deed, then it makes your day good and you end up doing it for somebody else.
Wow. That's really nice. So your definition of compassion is to pass it on, do good and pass it on.
Yes. Do good, spread love and pass it on. Yes.
Okay. So what are some of the challenges? Because it sounds like homeschooling is very interesting, and it's a little bit challenging because all of us have 24 hours during the day, and you have to make sure that the kids will be here and then get this done, get that done. So what are some of the challenges that people don't know about homeschooling that you would like to share with us?
I think the first challenge was picking the curriculum that best matched your children. When you go to school, somebody has decided what textbooks the school uses and what, how the curriculum is set. But when it's your responsibility or you've chosen to take this responsibility for yourself, there's more options than you could shake a stick at. And website that I found helpful was called KathyDuffyReviews.com, and it goes through tons and tons of different types of programs. Some are programs that you order the whole curriculum and it comes in a box, and you open the box and you start. And then other ones where you can pick and choose, I want this math program and this writing program and this English program. And so I think that the first challenge was choosing what you're going to use to teach the children. And then the second challenge was keeping them on task. When they're home, they think that, I don't have to do this. And so, it takes a little bit of working together, or at least it did for our family, to figure out how to keep them on task so that they actually complete the work within, if you're trying to do it within a traditional school year, within the school year. One of the nice options is that you can drag it out and do year-round schooling and take your vacations during the low-cost times. But we did find when the oldest started part-time at the high school and homeschooling, the homeschool work definitely got pushed aside because he felt like he had more flexible deadlines with it. And thus he did summer school, because he had to finish the schoolwork. And then trying to find an area, how do you set up your environment? Because you have some kids who are social and they want to be together with the others while they're doing their schoolwork, but maybe you have another child that's a solitary learner, likes to be by himself and do his work for himself and only come to you if he's got questions or when it's time to start reviewing stuff. So setting up the whole, how you mix all the different types of learners at home was another thing that we had to think about.
Wow. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that's the challenge within the school. Then the other one is that you have to try to remember that you've got all your other things. You've got your cooking, your cleaning, your laundry, your grocery shopping, and that you have to figure out how to fit those into your day as well now that you've got the kids around all day. And, trying to not make them do the chores instead of their homework, but at the same time fit it in because it's all part of the big family group.
So how do you do it, Penny? What's your secret? Share us with your secret. How do you do it? So your husband's deployed. You are a mother and you're a teacher at the same time. And how do you do it? It's just you're amazing. So please divulge. What's your secret?
My secret? I don't have a secret. It's, the big thing is the kids are, they are good. I think that if you give children responsibility, this is what you have, this is what you must do, that they do live up to the task. The curriculum that they use for high school requires reading all the ancient literature, and one of the boys is not he's just a meticulously slow reader. So we found free audiobooks. So, that helps him. So I can now actually, instead of sitting there poking him with a stick saying, read, 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 I can, give him an iPod loaded with the book that he's listening to, and he'll listen to the book and then he can continue with it. You spend a lot of time just juggling. You have to kind of try to convince them to do work on the road. And I guess the big thing is try to learn how to let go of the things that maybe aren't so important. There's some things in life that aren't as important, and so maybe you just have to figure out where your priorities are. So if your priority is homeschooling your children, then maybe the Better Homes and Garden House isn't the priority anymore. And so you have to kind of warn people,
ah.
You're coming to visit me, you're not coming to visit my house. If
ah.
you want to visit my house, make an appointment. So, and
wow.
yeah, so I think that's one of the things that I think I've had to learn to try to make it work. Having boys that have the same interest helps as well. And trying to not overschedule, you know, they tend to do the same activities. And so that does make the schedule a little bit easier.
I see. So what other kind of benefits or what other advices that you could give to all the mothers or the father who is thinking about homeschool compared to, you know, send their kids to public school? So anything else?
I think it needs to be a team front. You know, if you're a family, both mom and dad need to be on board because even if it's just the moral support if the dad
uh-huh.
is opposed to it, or likewise, if the dad really wants the kids homeschooled, but the mother is just not cut out for it. And there's lots of people who it's just not their thing. I mean, it requires patience and persistence and probably quite a good dose of a sense of humor because, you know, really
uh-huh.
there are days when you look at them and you're like, oh, really, must you act your age? You know,
uh-huh,
of course they
uh-huh,
do.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
they're teenagers and they're going to behave like this, or they're, you know, or they're second graders, you know, this is typical behavior for a second grader. So, you know, it does require a good dose of patience. And I think that the team support of both parents, because if there's any disunity, children will pick up on that and run with it, which would make for an uncomfortable homeschooling and the kids aren't going to
uh-huh.
be focused on learning. So,
wow.
Those
are really good advices that you just gave. So, wow, anything else you want to add, Penny?
It's a great way to really get to understand how your children function and work and be truly amazed at some of the big thinking that they come out with. But, you know, but at the same time, I know lots of people who felt guilty when they stopped homeschooling, or that it's okay to homeschool some children because it works better for them, but then not others. It's, you know, if the ultimate goal is for the best education for this particular child, then do what's best for them and you know, try to ignore all those little thoughts and words in your head that are saying, oh, no, you can't do this, or, oh, you know, they would be better there. If you feel it in your heart that this is the best for your children, then do it. And if you feel in your heart that this is not the best for your children, then never feel guilty that you've chosen to not do that.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Penny, for your wise feedback and wise advices, and thank you for your compassionate heart, and you are truly a remarkable and amazing woman. So I really appreciate that you have come on the show to share a little bit with us. So as part of the show, I promise some of the other hosts who does the Blog Talk Radio that I will just mention a little bit about the Kilimanjaro that I will be venturing
oh.
on next week.
Yay.
So so all the people are out there. As a part of this trek, I am trekking, going up the mountain for compassion. So a lot of the women who I'm going with, they are picking a disease that they're supporting or a chronic illness that they have raised money for and support. But as for yours truly, I am hiking up Kilimanjaro for the fact that is doing it for compassion. And we all know in Africa, there is so many hardships, so many wars and a lot of like wounded hearts, and just it's a beautiful untouched place. But I feel like part of climbing Kilimanjaro is also part of my offering, my spiritual journey of climbing up on top. And part of that is I'm having all my friends and family to write down wishes and send it through me to email or handwrite to me and give it to me if you see me. And I will carry those wishes on my back as I take my first step up the hill and through from the first step all the way to the eighth or seventh day up the Kilimanjaro. I will be praying and I will be meditating and just sending lots and lots of wishes and prayer. So, Penny, just anything, you want to share with us, any wish that you wish for Africa, wish for the world, any wishes that you want to share with us today?
I do,
tonight?
Actually.
Yes. Oh, you do? Yay!
I do. Along the compassion, I wish that everyone would do a good compassionate deed for somebody. As that boys last week talked about, the random acts of kindness, and then that everyone would pass it forward. If everyone did a random act of kindness for one person, and that one person did it for somebody else, I mean, maybe we could stop all the bad and the evil things that are hurting people and start having beautiful countries like Africa come to their own.
Wow, that's a beautiful wish. Make sure you write that down on your list, okay?
Okay.
And I will remind, and I will definitely put that in my heart as I am climbing up Kilimanjaro. And so for the listeners out there, if you like to write down your wishes and wanting to send it to me, you can. My email is BON. D-A-K-I-N-I. So that's Bon, B-O-N, Dakini, D-A-K-I-N-I @gmail.com. So for you listeners out there, if you have any wishes that you would like to offer to the world or send love and blessings, send it my way and I will take it up to the summit and offer it up there to the great Mount Kilimanjaro. Thank you so much. So for all of you who are going to be tuned in next week we will have three awesome men who also does Block Talk Radio. They is Victor and Jerry and Mr. Black. They also do the fan sports and politics. So we will all of us come together as a family as we kind of come together and talk and laugh and share our lessons of compassion together before I go off onto my trip. So, once again, I really appreciate for all those listeners out there, and may you be lots of love and light for somebody else, and do good and be kind to somebody you don't know, to a stranger, and pass it on, like as Penny say. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Okay, good night, Penny.
Good night, Kim. Bye.
Bye.